Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
I'm Matt Bacucci from the 2019 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Anna Ibon. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem, thank you.
Here presenting the film Transnistria. Just for the benefit of our listeners, would you like to tell us a little bit about the film, the story, just as a short introduction?
Mm-hmm. The movie takes place in Pridnestrovia, or Transnistria. It's a small independent state in the north of Moldova, bordering Ukraine. And I follow there a group of 17-year-olds. It's a girl, Tanya, and her friends, old boys. I follow them for a year. Yeah, and it's about their dramas and their summer hanging out together before they kind of have to face the grown-up world.
I wanted to find out more about the actual place itself, because it seems so fascinating to me. It would be, I guess, a fascinating place to film in, but how familiar were you with it before you embarked on this project?
I made my previous movie in Russia and Ukraine, so I went back and forth between Russia and Ukraine for about 7 years. And there, my main character, who was like 80 years old, she talked to me about a state which today still is run like a Sovietian state. And it's in Europe. And I kind of didn't understand her in the beginning because I'd never heard of it. And she talked to me about Pridnestrovia, which is the Russian name for Transnistria. And then I went to Siberia, and by accident I happened to talk with some other old ladies, and they were again talking about Moldova. Mm. They were making fun about somebody was a gypsy and she was from Transnistria. So again, I heard about this state, and then I read about it, and I found out that this place that I never heard of before exists, and it's in Moldova. It's unrecognized, but they do have their own currency, they have their own military, they have their own police, their own government. Everything's run, you know, like you go, when I go there, I fly to Chisinau, to Moldova. Then I have a guy who takes me across the border, and it is really like crossing a border to another country.
What?
This was created in the beginning of the 90s, and at that time, the country was more socialist, Soviet minded. It has changed, and now I think themselves consider them as a democracy, of course, because they want to be recognized, which they are not. I mean, you can question that, and whether or not they are democratic or not. But of course, they in this place of about 500 or 700,000 people, they have their own passports, but they are not valid outside of this country.
Right.
So that's why I'm alone at the Rotterdam Film Festival right now. I would want to have the protagonists with me, but I didn't have the chance to make everything in time. The film was finished like 3 days ago. So everything went really, really fast, and I hope for the next festival that I will be able to bring Tanya and Tolia. I could be able to help them to make a Moldovan passport, or a Ukrainian one, or a Russian one.
Mm. Wow. Visually as well, I mean, it's like it has an interesting visual identity.
Yeah, I mean, shooting in Ukraine or Russia, for most of the times, like, statues of Stalin or Lenin, you know, they are Lenin statues, they have been demolished, but in Transnistria, all of those are kept. So you still have the Lenin Street with the huge Lenin head, or, you know, things.
Yeah.
And a lot of the bureaucracy, or like the structure of the country, is kept somehow in a very old-fashioned way. And that's when that kind of conflict shows up for my characters, who are 17, 18, because they are influenced by Russian culture and modern culture, and they live in this place which is really old, limited somehow.
Right. Yeah. But why would you want to tell the story of younger people specifically?
It was because the fact that the country is so young. So because I spent so much time with this old woman in Ukraine and Russia, I had kind of heard so many stories about Soviet, and then this country, Pridnestrovia, being like born or reborn or whatever in 1992, made me interested in the generation born in the 90s. Like, how would I feel about growing up in a country where you keep those values?
Yeah.
And then going there, I kind of realized, okay, well, people born in the 90s, they are actually, they're not teens. Like, they're adults, of course. I'm super bad in math. So my age group...
Me too, I can't help you there.
Yeah, no, I have like serious dyslexia or something. With this not working for me. But so I know what an 18-year-old looks like. So I did some street casting like I always do for my movies. And I end up meeting Tanya and her friends. And they are born like 2000, 2001, around that, 2002. It didn't become the 90s generation, it became the 2000 generation, which was fine.
And why do you do street casting? Why do you prefer that?
I think I did it with my first movie, with Pine Ridge as well. It just lets you be kind of direct and straight right away. I mean, what I do is I go to a place and I write immediately. I can present myself like I'm Anna. Maybe I have a camera in my hand already. I don't have to pretend that I'm somebody else. And also, there is this possibility of the protagonist or the characters that I want to cast, that they are more directly into the process directly with me. There's nobody in between. I mean, I'm a team with only two people. It's me, I do the sound, and then I have a cinematographer.
Yeah.
So we are two people, and so there is no need to have any other kind of approach.
Yeah, to not have too much, I guess, getting in the way of like filming a reality of the place or of the situation. I mean, with everything you said, I feel like you have that approach of blending the line between reality and fiction. To be honest with you, I've got to be honest with you. When I was watching it, didn't occur to me that there was so much about it that was so real. Like, it felt like I was watching a film with mostly scripted. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is no script.
No script at all.
I can promise you that. It's you know, like, I felt okay. I meet a lot of different kids. They're all great, but then I need somebody to mirror something. When I meet Tanya, and the first time I meet her, she wants to get in the car with me. She's like, I need a ride somewhere. She has this kind of energy of going somewhere, and she gets what she wants, and she's such a strong character that automatically you feel, okay, this person can handle a movie shoot. Yeah. And then I was lucky that she had this group of friends, and the dynamics of the group of one girl and four or five boys. So I think that for me, it's not fiction. This movie is very much a documentary. But it's also the way, because it's shot on 16, I don't watch dailies. I just have to trust what the protagonist gives me and what's there. So if I'm in the middle of a group where every boy seems to be in love with Tanya and she's playing this kind of game with them, then this is what I have. And I have to trust that whatever they do and whatever they say is going to carry the film. So, I mean, this was it seems like they were in this chaos, teen, love, drama, and then that was all about the summer was all about that. And then it becomes more serious during the fall and in the winter, they change and they grow you might see like how the stereotypes or how like there's boys and girls
roles. They all have roles within the group, right? Which is why I was like, you know, you say it's very much a documentary, but it's almost stranger than fiction. You mentioned the 16mm. I think it adds a lot to this film. It's an interesting approach, and I wanted to know why choose to shoot in that way, because obviously it's demanding nowadays.
It's demanding, but it's also really amazing technique. Like I love the way I work with my cinematographer on the 16, and I also love the fact that for this movie the characters also have like natural breaks. You cannot shoot like you do on a digital. You have to be careful. You are counting the meters that you are shooting, and you are constantly like discussing what you have. You're not looking at the rushes or the images. You're talking about the content of how you experience the scenes in a different way with 16. And so it's the technique. I think it's the technique of you have those natural breaks of loading and reloading, and in the end it just works for me. It just works. And we have two different cameras, so one is a bit used a little bit more playfully, which is the Bolex camera, and the other one is the Atom camera, where we shoot
it a lot less,
right? Where we shoot like the scenes. Yeah, there is something maybe real in the analog, or somebody said something really stupid the other day.
Oh, go ahead. Without naming names, what did they say?
No, but it was the kind of a comment like, how can you afford to shoot like in a poor country with 16mm? And I think I work in the exact opposite, because why should I not when I find the most beautiful characters and strongest like they can be actors if they want to in the future, these ones. So no, for me it's of course a visual thing, but it's the method that it's really why I like the 16.
Anyways, Anna, it was a pleasure talking with you. We've got to go because we've been talking for longer than our allotted time. But thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.